We're delighted today to have the opportunity to interview the interviewer. Yay! It just simply makes sense. Of course, we started out talking about legacy this month, right? And we started out talking about the Queen of England, who's having her diamond jubilee, 60 years, right? Then we talked about Billy Graham and talked about his ministry, and he's about fixing to be 100 next year. That's incredible. So the next logical person in that progression would be you, Pastor, to talk about legacy. Oh, I have the microphone clipped to me.
I'll speak real loud. If you speak loud, I'll speak
loud. Okay. I'm going to slip this. I have a list of questions. Of course, I didn't want to spring them on you. I wanted you to sort of think about them.
Yeah.
So now that you have had an opportunity to mull things over in your mind, you're just going to give a great interview. I have complete faith.
Continuous answers.
Okay. So, look at, before there was a Bartimaeus Baptist Temple. What's your earliest memory of Bartimaeus Baptist Temple?
Well, when we first started, we were, and I've told y'all this story many times, we were in an abandoned building in Lee Park. And I can remember that when I say it was a building, it was more like it just had an awning on the top. It really didn't have sides and doors. And so you could... what do you call those things that, like when we go to a picnic?
A pavilion.
It was more like a pavilion than a building.
Oh, wow.
You know, it didn't have sides. So everybody in the park could see us and hear what was going on.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I would remember that, but I didn't remember much of that. I remember... when we really started at North Dallas Baptist Church. That's where we really had a building. That's where I first met Ruth and Kathy. We met in the building on the afternoon because the church used it on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And so we got to use it on Sunday afternoon. I don't even know if my parents, if they had to pay for that, they probably didn't, because we were members of North Dallas Baptist Church, and you know, we went to church every Sunday morning, and then we'd have Bartimaeus on Sunday afternoon, and we were still there on Sunday night. So after Bartimaeus got out, we just stayed there. Sometimes in between the Sunday morning service, we would go out to dinner and eat lunch and be back.
Okay.
But after the service, we just stayed there at the church and then had service on Sunday night. And I remember spending a lot of time there. It was, there were so many people there that made such an influence on my life. And some of them were people at Bartimaeus, some of them were at North Dallas. I know the pastor at North Dallas Church, his name was Dr. Craig, and him and my dad were good friends,
yeah.
And so we spent time with him. His son became a pastor also, and so I knew his son. So my early memories are when... I was just there at church, and I didn't realize what an influence these people made in my life till later on.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, I wasn't excited about being at church all day on Sunday.
Imagine that. How old were you at that point?
At that time, I was probably 10 years old. Maybe. I was still in grade school. Getting ready to go into middle school when I when I met Kathy and Ruth, I guess I was that's probably 12 or 13 back then. Right. Yeah.
So what moving more into just enduring while the church, you had already established it and you were then meeting weekly. What's one of your fondest memories?
I was thinking about that, and I don't, Ruth and Kathy, I don't know if y'all remember this or not. Y'all would have been the only, I think this was even before Don and Brenda, I'm not sure, but one weekend we went to an encampment where Bartimaeus, actually we went to a building and we spent the night there. And that's the first time I remember us going as a church, actually going out someplace. But I was amazed because we had a lot of blind people back then. Mm-hmm. And so we went to this building and we drove there. I don't think it was Mount Lebanon, but it was a place like that.
Mm-hmm. Like a church camp.
Yeah, it was a church camp. And it was the first time any of these people had been to church camp. I had been as an RA many times, but this was the first time. And we had this building, and we, you know, we spent the night there. We had dinner there. We had a Bible study. We had breakfast that morning. But I remember at night, all the blind people were playing dominoes, and I couldn't. It amazed me that they could feel the dominoes.
Yeah.
And so when somebody played them, and some of the others, ones of us were playing 42, you know, that, and we sat at that table and we had such a good time. I remember that encampment, and I think we only did that one year. My dad was really nervous about the whole thing because, you know, there were a bunch of people that couldn't see, and there was a lot of winding roads that you had to walk through. There were wheelchairs. There wasn't electric chairs then. They were just manual chairs. And so it was technically a hard thing, but it really affected me because I had such a good time at that. Most of the time when I was a kid, when I thought about Bartimaeus, I wasn't there to have a good time. But that day, that weekend, that I did that, somebody want to open the door for Pam? I don't
know. It's open.
Oh, is it open? Okay. But I remember that, and that's one of the fondest memories. That and I remember the time when we got this church and how much that meant to my parents. I remember that, too.
That's probably one of your more vivid memories.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my next question about, you know, one of your most vivid memories. And would that be maybe the first time you had church here in the new building? Hello, Pam. Oh, let me let you by.
I remember the services that we had here. I remember how nice it was that this is so much closer to our house.
Yeah.
And that when we came here, we didn't have to do anything after. I mean, this actually was our building, and that meant so much to my mom and dad, and so it was cool to me, too. I was still, how old do you think I was back then? I was still maybe in middle school. It wasn't, I hadn't started high school, I know, because I know my sister had started high school, but she wasn't. She had just started it, and I'm 3 years behind her, so.
So what year was that?
Probably 1958.
When we started this year?
No,
when,
oh.
When I remember.
70.
Do you remember what year we moved here?
It was after I got married the first time, so it had to be in the early 70s.
74 seems to be in my mind.
Yeah, it was So
everything else started maybe at 58.
Yeah. But I don't remember exactly when we moved into this building. I know it was a church already. It was a different church.
I think
church.
It was around 74, if I'm not mistaken.
Early 70s.
Okay.
Thank you for that. But one of the most vivid memories of the first time meeting here probably was joyful. Are there other vivid memories? I mean.
Oh, there were many. Yeah. Do y'all remember the day we paid the church off and my dad took the lease? And he burned it right here.
Yay.
Right here in the church.
And then the sprinklers went off. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have
sprinklers then, we don't have sprinklers now.
But, okay, that's good to know.
But I know that was a big time. There were several revivals that were here. We had a revival once where at this little table there was a guy who came and gave a revival. I can't remember his name.
He was what you call him?
Huh? Was he traveling?
He was someone on the skateboard?
Yeah. He didn't have any legs.
He was more like Pentecostal.
Yeah, but he would sit, he put the skateboard on
the table. We had a table up
and went back and forth.
It wasn't on that bed, it was a table that we put up there.
Well, I thought it was
no.
How cool is that?
And he would go back and forth.
His wife came and she had to, you know, but I remember the him having that revival here, and yeah. I remember the sermon he preached. And back then, I guess we had about this many people. But, you know, there weren't, it wasn't full, but when we had that revival, there were a lot of visitors that came.
Oh, wow.
Because another church, a church that Ruth was friends with, passed over there, brought him over here, and he had that revival here. I remember that. I remember.
I don't remember you ever talking about that.
Yeah, I had film of that someplace.
Yeah, I think the kids did Tecmo football.
Any film you had, if I could get any film from.
Yeah. I don't. If it is, it's on a VCR. Maybe we can get it transferred.
Would love to get any footage. Any archival.
Y'all remember my friend Danny Mack? We went to the church. When Danny Mack first started to preach, my dad let him come over here one Sunday and preach, and that really meant a lot to Danny because nobody else was giving him a chance then.
Wow.
So, and there's been several people come and go through here, but you know.
We've had Elvis Presley here.
Y'all remember when he came and tripped right there?
He fell up the steps.
Yeah. And I said SHIT real loud because he hit his head. Oh no! So embarrassing. Yeah, it was a.
That would be a vivid memory.
It was.
Never got mentioned to my last one. Well, finally asked me.
There have been many. You know, I could talk to you for 2 hours about memories, but many of them were after I was just not a kid anymore. I was young man then. Those are the memories that really stick more with me because it meant more to me.
Do you have any memories that would probably be amongst the more challenging? Perhaps maybe something in particular. And I did give Pastor a chance to think about these things. I gave him the questions in advance. Mm-hmm. Just to be thinking about maybe something, if I had a do-over, you know? I might have done that a little different way.
Yeah, my parents always just assumed that I would always be here. I'd been here as a kid, but when I came to a time where I thought, well, I don't want to go to Barnabas. I want to go to a regular church. And that was good for me because I was fed and I met a lot of people. And those times were good. But there were a lot of years away from helping my mom and dad minister that I could have helped more. When my dad got really bad, you talk about memories. I remember my dad, he preached a message on Revelations, and he did it to the Dallas Baptist Association. They invited him to come, and he taught that lesson. And, you know, he got a standing ovation at the pastor's conference.
Yeah.
You know?
He went every Monday.
It was what,
I would take him to Monday, on Monday for that.
And so he brought that message here, and wasn't quite as well received here because a lot of people didn't understand what he was. The very next Sunday, he did the same sermon again. And he was halfway through it, and he just stopped. And I'm sitting in the back there, and that was really the first time that, now, I had already decided to be a pastor. Well, I said I was going to be a preacher. I had changed my mind, but I had committed myself. I had walked down the aisle at a revival at North Dallas Baptist Church, and I, when I was still going there, I preached a sermon there at North Dallas, and so I had my dad would have me do a revival here every week, but I wasn't the pastor here. Okay, I was just the bus driver, and so I was sitting back there, and I don't know if it was my mom or Chris. Somebody says, you need to go up there. And I had to go down there and just ask him to sit down because he had no idea where he was, what he was supposed to say next. And that, right then I realized how much my dad had slipped. And that really... I remember that incident. Well, there are a lot of things I remember, but if I could have done it over, I would have. During those years that I was at the other church, as much as I enjoyed that and did that, there were many times that I could have helped my mom. And I'm sure, just like, and we're going to get into legacy here in a minute.
Yeah.
When I look and see, I don't have any of my children. I don't have my kids here either.
Yeah.
Kimmy's the only one of my five children that ever comes to Barnabas. And I've always thought, my dad did this, then I'm going to do it, then I'm going to have all my kids. It would always be a part of it, but that may not be the case.
Or may have a different plan,
yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He has the backers.
Yeah.
Well, it's a little younger, a little better help, but Lord, you know what you're doing. Kind of a funny story that you can just comes to mind.
Many things I have done to Ruth. I remember, you know, her and my mom would go, worked at TI.
Right.
And she came to pick my mom up one day, and my friend Ronnie and me were out in the yard, and so Ruth pulled into the driveway, and when she pulled beside me, I hit the side of her car.
And then
I fell down on the ground like I had been run over. She slammed on the brakes and jumped. Ruth was much younger then, and she jumped out of the car. And when we started laughing, she wanted to beat me to a pulp.
And
I don't know if she ever forgave me for that.
Did you forgive him for that, Ruth? No.
It scared her to death. And then my mom, we had a screen door, and this screen door had little levers that were there. And so I was going to scare my mom one day, so I'd ring the doorbell, then hide. And then she'd come to the door and look out, didn't see anybody, and shut the door. I did this two or three times. One time, I kind of crouched down, and when she came to the door, I jumped up. She threw the door open, hit that screen right across my nose, broke all the latches in the door. She never fixed it till we replaced that to remind me that. And to this day, my wife hates it when I scare her too.
Not a good thing, Pastor.
Not a good thing.
Make me mad. Well, thankfully, you're less of a prankster over time, so the mellowing process is very good. But I want to talk more about the future. And of course, we've been talking about legacy. And I really want to think about, you know, because it was a church founded by your parents. Of course, you've been the head of it for quite some time. But what do you believe, I want to start with them, because they are the founding pastors. What do you think was their vision for the future?
Their vision was that this church was going to minister to people with disabilities, that it was going to... My dad never wanted to pastor a mega church. He never wanted to do anything but to minister to people with disabilities. And that's what he spent his... Before this ministry started, he preached for an organization called TANK, which was Texas Alcoholics, Narcotics...
Education.
Yeah. And so I would go with him, and he would go to different... Now, he went to big churches. My father never thought he was a great pastor. I did, but, you know, he didn't. But he would go, and he would give all the statistics of what alcohol and tobacco were doing to America. You know, that was... he would be invited in. There were several pastors that were in this group, but every time he would go there, he would also always mention that if you're not ministering to people with disabilities, you're missing out on millions of people not coming to your church because you're not going to get them, or you're not inviting them because you're leaving them out. And he would go to these churches and do that. That wasn't his supposed to be his message at that time, but that was always what was in his heart. When he got to start this, he doesn't do that anymore. He devoted... Well, my father worked at a job. He worked at several... He would work at the General Tires where he worked. He would sell Fuller Brush. And he would do people's income tax.
All these things he would do,
just, you know, enough to bring money in to the house. My mom worked at TI, and my grandmother was there to take care of me and my sister. So it was his legacy would be that, and me and Chris talk about this a lot. Would they be proud of us right now as to what we're doing? I think, you know, as parents, you always want to be proud of your kids. But we didn't leave this ministry. We're still part of this ministry. We want this ministry to go on a lot longer than what it's gone on now. And so, yeah, my family is not here like I would want them to be, but that, as what we want to say is, as long as my kids are in church or are believing in Christ, that's the most important. Bartimaeus may not mean to them what they meant to me when I was growing up. And if they don't, they don't. But I'm hoping that there will be some time that maybe when me and Chris have moved on, they will want to come in and help be part of this. I don't know in what part. I think they just want to come and make, hopefully be members and just help people with disabilities. I would hope that would be something they would want to do too.
Yeah. So that rather than, you know, it's at the point at which you took over for your parents and then their dreams and their visions, and then it transitions to you and what your vision is for the future of Bartimaeus. And of course, you're certainly sort of talking about that now, but just anything additional as far as what your hopes are for the future?
I found out, like my dad found out, that ministering to people with disabilities, they're a tough crowd. And they're a tough crowd because they've gone through so much.
Yeah.
And many people with disabilities have given up. They've given up on church. Some have given up on God. And some have given up on themselves. And so when you go to try to convince these people that we have a place that you can come and feel welcome to, well, they've given up on church. They've gone to big churches, and they felt like nobody cared about them. When they go to churches like this little church, they get disappointed when I can't do something for them. And they take that I don't care about. Unfortunately, I am not Don Whitmore. I can't do some of the things that my dad did.
Yeah.
And even he couldn't meet all the needs that a person has. If you're a person with disability, you have some needs, and we want to try to meet every need you have, but it's going to be times when we disappoint you and aren't able to do what you need us to do. And some people just give up after that. They don't. Not these people. These people are here because they are not giving up. But to get people to come in, they have to be able to overcome that disappointment. And that's been a hard thing for. Because I think about how many people have come, and they haven't stayed long. They've got their feelings hurt, or for some other reason, they've left. And it's because they felt like, you know, they weren't being treated right. And I hate that. I do. And it's important for us as members and as a congregation to try not to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want anybody's feelings hurt. And I that's almost to a fault for me. You know, they'll tell you sometimes I won't make good decisions because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. And sometimes, well, y'all know, Larry knows, sometimes as a pastor you have to make some tough decisions and hurt people's feelings, but that's not what I want to do. That's not what my dad wanted to do. But I think one of the toughest things about ministering to people with disabilities is to convince them, don't give up on this. We'll make mistakes, just like, you know, the big churches, they have a bigger advantage because they can send people to come see. I hate it when people go to the hospital and I don't get to go see them when they're there. And my job has stopped me from doing that. The fact that I have so many other things that I'm involved in stopped me from doing that. And probably my own laziness sometimes has stopped me from doing that. But, you know, a pastor that has a big church has several people that can go do that. And here, it's, I just don't have that luxury to delegate that out to a bunch of people. Amen. And so I would hope to think that people would come here and know that we care about you, but it's sometimes the hardest part about this is selling ourselves as being truly concerned and dedicated and caring, because sometimes they don't feel that way, and I hate that.
Well, I guess this sort of leads into my last question. And of course, we're going to take maybe some questions from the audience, but how can we help you?
Well, just like my dad had people that helped him, I just need you to help me. One thing that...
In what that, areas do you need a great amount of help?
And I'm gonna outline some things that I can get you to help me do. But, my dad had people that helped him. Now, my dad didn't have a Larry and Linda Thacker. I've got that advantage that he didn't have. My dad didn't have some of the people that are in here today. And because I've got so many good people, I can ask somebody to do things for me. I ask my wife to do a whole lot for me that she can do that I can't do because I'm at work or something. Like today, she took Lisa to the hospital and did all that so I could get ready to come to church. And I thought I was going to ride on the bus, but she got stuck at the hospital, and so I got to drive her people and pick them up. But I need you to, one, every week I tell you to do something good for somebody. I need you to do that. I need you as not just a child of the King, because all of us are that. Amen. I need you to reach out and let people know about Barnabas. You'll talk to people I'll never see and people I'll never talk to. You're going to have to be convinced that I haven't given up on you. I haven't quit on you. You may be disappointed in me or Larry or Chris or Linda or something. May have been disappointed in us. And if you are, I'm sorry. You can always talk to us about that. I promise you, I'm not going to get my feelings hurt. I'm not going to know how I can be better unless you tell me what I need to do that's better. Mm-hmm. Now, Kathy will tell you, I'm not always going to take your advice. But at least tell me what you think I need to be doing, and I will sure try to do it. But I need you to be my mouthpiece. I need, until I get to the point where I can retire from my job and just do this full time, I'm going to need you to, when you find somebody sick, if you can go to them, go to them. If you can't, call them or do something, let us know. I call Larry all the time and say, put this on the prayer chain and that on the prayer chain. And that's always the big part. And I need you to... be willing to do more than just come to church on Sunday. I need you to be Barnabas' representative out when you're at the grocery store and other places, inviting people to come. I know it's hard, and there are many people, especially those that are in the nursing home and stuff. You're surrounded by people all the time, and I can't tell you how many times they say, yeah, we'll come. I go there on Sunday. They don't know what I'm talking about. They forget, or they do. It's just important. I need you to know that if you have a need or a want, that I want you to call us let us know. If it's something we can do to help you, I promise you, we'll try to do whatever we can do. I need to know that when it's time for me and Chris to move on and do something, I want to know that this building is not about us. It's about a ministry that started almost 60 years ago, and it's not a Don Whitmore church. It's not a David Whitmore church. It's a Jesus Christ church. Amen. And I want it to keep going. I'm so thankful that Larry and Linda are here. I got families like Tim and Cindy and Don and Brenda who are so, so important about what they do in our church. And we've got members that have worked in this church like Ruth and Kathy and others that I just need you to continue to be faithful. We need to face it. If it gets to the point where nobody shows up, the doors close. That's just, and we need to get some young people in here. We need to get some people that'll continue this same strive to minister to people with disabilities, and we got to find those people and get them in and get them involved. And I'm just praying that you can help me do that.
Amen. I know we're sort of at the end of our time here, but I wanted to give chance for maybe a question or two that maybe I overlooked. Yes, Mrs. T.
David, when are we going to have our own revival here?
Well,
we could do it on a Friday night since you want me to suggest everything. We could do it for a couple hours on a Friday night.
We can do a revival that lasts Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we can do that by bringing in a guest. I have several pastors. The only hard time for them is on Sunday, but when we have services on Sunday afternoon, you know, a lot of the pastors I know are still able to come and do that. If a revival is something that y'all would like to do, I will try to schedule one right away. If you want to have it just a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or you want to do it when we did revivals, we did it Monday through Sunday.
It's
really
difficult to do it every night.
Yeah, especially with us working. But, so you think a Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah. Okay. Well, revival is what brought me and Don over here.
It was?
The Baptist Student Union Director, he had been disabled by an accident at his work. He was working on top of the building on the electricity, and they turned the juice back on.
Ooh.
And he lost both of his arms at different places.
Oh,
and burned quite a bit of his face even. Look, his face is not bad, but it was kind of made him bald early. But anyway, he brought some of us that were going to Mountain View. And Brother Don, his dad, had been looking for somebody that would be faithful to lead the singing, and this big mouth happened to be it.
And we're thankful for him. And
you know, I'm telling you, it wasn't the people that my dad and mom brought into church that changed this church. It was the people in the church that talked to their neighbors, mm-hmm. talked to... I know my mom was the one that brought Ruth in, mm-hmm. because she warded her to death as mm-hmm. she came. The same thing with Jerry Gibson. My mom worked with Jerry Gibson, and she just wore him down. And you know, but most of it, you'll find that most of the people came because somebody in the church invited them to come. That's what we need to do. I need to keep inviting people. Everybody I see, I need to keep. I've invited people come. Some have come and they haven't stayed, but there are some that have come and they're still here, and I'm so grateful for people like Kelly and stuff that we just met and invited them to come to church, and they've come and stayed there. Edith.
What time would you plan on starting? Because my work hours are from 10 to 6:30 and not very often I get off on time.
Yeah. Well, if we do it, it would probably have to start about 6 because you don't want to be in this neighborhood after dark very often. So, but if we do, maybe we can find somebody to, when they bring a pastor, tell them, we ask them if they could bring a piano player too. Yeah. And then if you can come, you can come, and you won't have to play during those that Friday. And I'll try to set that up for the month of June. That's just a little over a month away, and I will talk to some of the pastors.
Mother's Day and Father's Day.
Is that in all in June?
No, Mother's Day. Father's Day is in June.
Yeah.
So I mean, we just need to look and plan stuff before you start saying stuff.
Yeah. But I won't just ignore this. I will work on getting it done. And maybe we can invite some people to come to the revival and get them a little taste of what Bartimaeus is, and at least get them.
Can we also have a flyer that's on Facebook so we can have something to share?
Yeah, we can certainly put all those together.
Yeah.
Because even if we have a flyer that's made here at the church and we want to pass out to our neighborhood,
right.
I think that would be not kind of nice because I know Wanda, my next door neighbor, is 90 years old. And they have to transport her or whatever, but I mean, at least give her an idea of what's going on. I know she was married to a pastor.
Okay.
Bless her heart.
So I know we need to move along and still have a program yet to do. So I just wanted to bring up Pastor and Priscilla just so we might pray over you.
Okay.
If that would be okay, if you want to come up or not come up, or just pray from where you're at. Just to wrap it up with a blessing and then move along. We do. Except for us to be getting up. Do you want to come, Pastor? Want to start, Pastor Larry? Just saying a blessing.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done with this church. Thank you for placing it here. I remember when I first, I think I might have heard about it once before, long, many, many years ago, and I just totally dismissed it. I don't want that. And here I am. Here I am, because that was your plan all along.
That's right.
And we just, I thank you. I thank you for what you have done here. Thank you for Pastor David and Priscilla and their faithfulness. And Lord, we just speak blessings over them as they continue in your work. Lord, I pray for healing, for restoration. Lord, I pray for strength and wisdom. As they finish the course that you have set, may this church be here for many, many years to come as a beacon of light and as a source of hope.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.